of me knows there is surely more than this. Echoes of eternity all around us.
On, test 1, 2, 1, 2. I'm going to move this around a little bit. Test 1, 2, 1, 2. Not hearing anything. Playing with the antenna. I got the antenna, it sticks out of the pocket, which is good. Test 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Test 1, 2. Not hearing anything. All right, see if it happens again. Maybe it's the, like you said, the interference. Good. Rick, we good? Does everything sound okay? Okay, all right. Give it a shot. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Thanks for joining us here at Trinity this morning. It's important that we gather as often as we can to bring worship and praise to the Lord. And I trust that this would be the first day of a brand new week in doing that. And we get to do that together. And so this morning, we will bring worship to the Lord in different ways. In just a moment or two, we'll stand and sing songs of worship to the Lord. And we will also worship God through prayer and through our time of fellowship. Remember that after our service, we have our extended time of fellowship around the table. We get to eat food together, and so today is the first Sunday of the month, so welcome to December, everyone, and we get to kick off December by having our monthly luncheon, and so please, everybody is welcome to stay for that. It's a great opportunity not only to share a meal together, but to continue to encourage each other in our faith, talk about what it is that God is doing in our lives this season of Thanksgiving, and as we quickly head toward Christmas, we get to do that together. So we will worship the Lord in many different ways, but I'm just glad that you're here, and I would just encourage you as well to just take this time, as in a moment you'll hear a reading from the Word of the Lord, and then pray, and then we'll sing songs of praise. Take this moment or two now to just gather yourself in a way and bring your heart before the Lord, and you can pray that God would calm your mind and ready your heart to enter into a time of worship. Because, you know, we have different experiences throughout the week and even on Sunday mornings, and so it's good that we take a moment and hear from God, hear from His revealed word to us, to set our minds and our hearts right, to remember why it is that we gather, because He alone is worthy. Amen? He is the one that is worthy. So we want to bring all our focus and attention on Him. So listen to the reading of the word, and then we'll be prayed into worship. Thank you.
A reading from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, when adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Would you pray with me? Yeah, Lord, we come this morning with confidence, God, that we will see your goodness in the land that we're living in. So, God, we come with faith. We come with hope. God, knowing that the one thing that we seek after, God, all that we desire is to dwell with you. God, is to be in with you in your house forever. Lord, it's the one thing that we seek. So this morning we come and we gather in unity, God, with one thirst and one hunger, and that's for you. So Jesus, would you be blessed by our worship this morning? Would we come, would we bring you our whole hearts, our whole lives, knowing that you're not the God who just wants us on Sundays, but you want to invade every part of our lives for your love and for your kingdom. God, so we give ourselves up, we yield and surrender wholly to you this morning. And we just worship you with adoration and with love, Father, because we love you so much. We give thanks, God, that you lift us up. You give us clear vision and clear sight above all of the things that we struggle with, above all of the things that are tempting us, God. You lift us up and you give us clear vision. And so we're grateful for that clear vision, Jesus. And with that clear vision, we look at you and we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cry out, sing holy, forever holy God. Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Yeah.
Yes, Father, the battle belongs to you. God, thank you that we can sing these words of truth this morning together, that you are our almighty fortress. Thank you that you go before us through all battles and that we can have trust and faith in you. God, thank you that you go before us through your Spirit. And now, Lord God, through your Spirit, would you continue, God, to lead us in worship as we give you all praise and glory and honor that is due your name. Thank you for being our rescuer, our redeemer, our almighty fortress. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, we say amen and amen. Take a moment to say good morning to somebody next to you.
Thank you.
All right, if we can find our way back to our seats. We praise God for an opportunity to worship and to be together this morning. Before we open God's Word and see what it is that He has for us this morning, just a few things of what we like to call church life, just to make sure that we get caught up and that we're on the same page about things that we want to praise God for that have happened and things that are coming up. First, just want to thank everyone that participated with the Children of the of Inmates Giving Project for the kids. Thank you for everybody that signed up. The presents are due next Sunday, but we're grateful. We always get a great turnout for that every year, so thank you to everyone. And just another reminder that this Thursday evening is the annual Women's Ministry Christmas Party, and so ladies, make sure you sign up for that. That is this Thursday. You can sign up online or out in the lobby, but there's still time to do that. That is this Thursday evening. You can find out all the details on our website, trinityallenwood.com, but just wanted to make sure that, ladies, that you're aware of that. And you notice that we have these three words that are always important to us. Excuse me, learn, grow, and serve. Those are our core values. That's how we pursue being followers of Christ. We call disciples, right? Learners. And we do that by learning the truth and then growing in our faith. And then serving, and we serve each other in our faith community here, and we serve the community and the world around us. And this is a sort of an ongoing, lifelong journey and process that we repeat over and over, that we learn, we grow, we serve, and we get to do that together. And that's why it's important to us here at Trinity. It's how we pursue being disciples of Jesus. Just a reminder that we will end our gathering this morning with communion. We do that on the first Sunday of every month to remember the Lord's sacrifice on our behalf. And so we will be taking the bread and the cup together as believers. We do that in remembrance of Him, and as Jesus told us to do so. And then we will have our fellowship lunch, as I mentioned earlier. We love to do that in conjunction with each other as often as we can, because in the ancient church, it's what they did. They would have their agape feast, agape meaning love, and they would gather together and encourage and fellowship and challenge one another and share the word with each other and what God was doing in their lives. But they would always take a portion of that time and set it aside to remember, to reflect on what it cost them to have this new life that they were celebrating. So we do that as well. We end our service with communion, then we move into our time of fellowship and food as we continue to celebrate all that is good in our lives, because it all comes from the Lord. And so please make sure that you stay afterwards, that we will have some food and fellowship together. And then after that, once you're done eating, we will start getting out all the decorations, and we would love all the help that we can get. So if you're able to stay for a little bit after lunch, we will begin decorating the church for the Christmas season. And so we love to be able to do that here when we're all together. People will just be given some directions on where to get all of the decorations and where they go. And so that'll be a fun time. So if you can kind of extend your time with us this morning after lunch, we'd love to have you help us decorate. Remember, too, that for this month and going into January to the new year, we are collecting coat donations for our annual outreach down to Delaware. And we always do that towards the end of January. And so for the next couple of months, we'll be collecting coat donations. So if you have a gently used coat, or if the Lord leads you to buy a new one, you can bring that in anytime that you're here. We would love to do that so that we can bring our coats to the people in need down in Delaware. And also, if that's something you haven't done before, and you've been praying about a way to serve and to get involved, that would be a great opportunity. You'll hear more about that, but it's coming up at the end of January, but we are currently collecting coats for that. And then in a few weeks, on Sunday, December 22nd, the Trinity Kids, our wonderful ministry with our children, will be performing that day. They're Christmas production, so that'll be part of our Sunday morning service, and they have been faithfully rehearsing for that and preparing. So what a great Sunday to invite some family and friends to come out and worship with us, and to get to be led into worship by our children and reminded of the importance of the Christmas season. Amen. So that is on Sunday, December 22nd. So put that in your calendar as well. And then, of course, we have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service. It will be at 6 p.m. this year, and it's just a wonderful evening of worship and music and hearing from God's Word. And the theme this year is hope. Hope is born as we look at the importance of the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate. So a special evening that we set aside on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. to remember and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. So make note of that as well. We are beginning a sermon series for December, taking a break from Matthew, as we love to go through books of the Bible at Trinity. We're currently in our journey through Matthew together, the Gospel of Matthew. But for these 4 weeks in December, we will be celebrating Advent. And Advent simply just means arrival, as we remember the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. And so there are traditional themes that go along with the Advent season, the Christmas season, and they are hope and peace and love and joy. And so this morning we begin our Advent series looking at hope. What does it mean that we can say that as people of God we have hope? And why is it important during the Christmas season especially to remember that hope was born, that hope was given to the world in the person of Jesus Christ? And so that will be our theme and our focus for this morning, is our hope in the Lord Jesus. Church, let me ask you, are you hopeful? Are you hopeful in this season of your life? I would ask that as we move through some scripture today and look at some important points of application for us and what the Word has to say about hope, especially during this Christmas season, just consider what hope in your life has looked like this past year. And as we approach the end of our calendar year and we look forward to Christmas and are entering today into this Christmas season, are you entering it with hope in your life? So I think it'll be important to look at some scriptures about what does the Bible say is hope, and how do we apply that to our lives, and why is it that we can say that in Christ as believers that we can have hope and we should be hopeful? You know, reflecting on hope, just considering this, so we think about at Christmas the birth of Jesus, think about the miracle of human life itself. Human life is a miracle of God. The birth of a newborn, of a brand new human, something that maybe we even just sort of take for granted, is entirely a miracle of God. You know, it takes 9 months. Why would God do that? Did you ever consider that? God could have designed it any number of ways, but he designed in his human creation that it would take about 9 months for a baby to grow in its mother's womb. And all that time, the Word tells us that God is fashioning and knitting together this brand new person that God has known from before time began. And during those 9 months, God is weaving together the joints and marrow, Scripture says, and all that goes into the formation of a brand new person. The lungs finding strength to eventually breathe air. And all the while, the parents are waiting with great anticipation to meet their new child. What do you do for those 9 months as parents? Well, there's a lot that happens, right? You are sort of stockpiling supplies and getting ready. We had some We had a family over for Thanksgiving, and they stayed over, and they have an eight-month-old, and she's so precious, little baby Daisy, we call her, and they came in and stayed over, and just, we kept opening the door because there was one load of supplies and stuff after another. For one little human being, so many things they needed to take care of her. But that's what parents do, especially during those 9 months of pregnancy. They're getting ready. There is great anticipation and preparation for the coming of the newborn. They're thinking about names. They're maybe reading on what to expect and how it is that they're going to manage the great changes in their lives. And it's always fun, too, if you're a parent, right, and your kids are older, to look at parents that are having their first child, and they're so excited, and they think they know what to expect. How little they know. But yet, there is so much joy in anticipation, even of recognizing there will be sleepless months of early parenthood. But think about this, church. What were those 9 months like for Mary and Joseph? We have a little bit in the Gospels about those months where Mary was pregnant with baby Jesus. The things they had to go through. The visit of the angel first to tell Mary what was happening. Joseph being visited by an angel because Joseph was ready to break up that relationship because of what he thought had happened. And yet now they were anticipating this birth. But just think about all they must have been considering for those 9 months, those long 9 months. We have snapshots of things that happened in their life, visiting with Elizabeth, and then, of course, the census and having to leave and giving birth in a manger and all that we know about the Christmas story. But there's so much more that happened to them as a young couple expecting their first child for those 9 months, especially under the conditions that it began. They would have been preparing in many ways like any parents would, but of course Mary and Joseph were unlike any other parents ever. They knew that soon enough, in God's timing, they would welcome in to their family a baby. They had an idea from God about the importance of this baby, but yet for 9 months, there was still great anticipation. What would they have been thinking about? Consider, just as we look at some scriptures about hope, what they would have been hopeful for. Consider their anticipation. Today, as believers in Jesus Christ, we sort of wait in the shadows of God's full redemption and perfect light that he promised. We have glimpses of that now, but why are we people of hope? Because we know what is coming. See, Christmas is the celebration of what we call the first advent of Jesus Christ. Advent simply means arrival. It's from an old Latin word. It means to come. It means to arrive, to appear. And so we call it the Advent season because we are remembering, right, in anticipation, sort of this whole season leading up to Christmas Day. We remember the birth of the Savior. We are remembering and celebrating and anticipating the first arrival. Of course, we remember that now. From our perspective, it is past. But as believers, don't we also look forward to, in great hope, the second advent of Jesus, when he will come again and he will return? So we now wait eagerly for the second advent of Jesus, when he comes back for us as people. But there's so much about the Christmas season that is about waiting in anticipation. But isn't that just like life? I mean, isn't there so much about our daily lives that is about waiting? It's about anticipation. Maybe you have a long-planned vacation coming in the new year. Maybe there's a trip of a lifetime you've been planning, and aren't you looking forward to that? Maybe it's the start of a new job, or perhaps there's a wedding coming up in your future, and you are planning that wedding. Or it is the birth of a child, or perhaps right now for you it is just simply Christmas morning and all that goes along with it. But see, all of these things that we anticipate and that we eagerly await, they all grow in great value in our lives because of the hours that we spend looking forward to them. Consider this morning, what is it that you are anticipating in your life right now? What can you say is leading you to have that hope, and what is it that you are anticipating? This season that we begin today, this Christmas time, is a good reminder of the intentionality of waiting, the purposeful delay that God builds into our relationship with Him. See, there is grace and goodness in waiting. We don't always see it that way. I mean, who likes to wait for things, right? Especially today, we want everything yesterday, right? We can't even wait for the microwave to finish. How many of you, if you went home, you have like 3 seconds left on your microwave? Because you put it in for 2 minutes and you couldn't wait the last 3 seconds. I know about that because I do it all the time. We just can't wait. But see, there is goodness, there is grace in waiting. God builds that into our anticipation of things that He is going to do, promises He is going to keep. There's beauty and there's blessing in anticipation. And that's what this first Sunday at Advent is all about. It's expectation. It is about hope. See, 2,000 years ago, Israel was waiting. They had been waiting for generations. The long-expected Messiah that year after year did not arrive. They were waiting with great expectation and hope that He would one day come. Jesus Christ fulfills so many prophecies about Him that the ancient Israelites had hope because God had promised there would one day be the Redeemer. But today, 2,000 years later, as believers in that Jesus, we hope in His return. See, our hope, a look to the future, is about keeping our eyes on Him. It's about His return for us. His return for His church, and then His eventual, what we call, second advent, His second arrival on earth. But we look at hope, and we're like, what is it, this thing called hope? And why is it that we can be called people of hope? Well, we say we're people of faith. We have faith in Jesus, and faith is rooted in things of the past, right? Believing in what has happened. We talk about the death and resurrection of Christ, the promises that Christ fulfilled, but hope looks to the future. See, but hope is based on that faith, isn't it? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What else does Scripture say about hope? It tells us in Matthew, it tells us in 1 Peter about how hope is a fulfillment of Old Testament promises. See, hope is about promises made in the past being fulfilled, but yet there are promises yet fulfilled that we can place our hope in. We have faith in what God has done, and we look in hope to what God will do. Matthew 12. And in His name the Gentiles will hope. Future. 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Christ rose from the grave, we have the hope of life eternal. Christian hope is also rooted in faith, in the divine salvation of Christ. It is the foundation of our hope as we look to the future. Galatians 5, "For through the Spirit by faith we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." And in Romans, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved." See that? We all look forward to that day where we receive our brand new bodies, fit for heaven and for all eternity. But notice the words that are used here around the word hope. We wait eagerly. Even all of creation groans in waiting and eager anticipation. Colossians 1. "To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." We even hope in that eternal glory. And Titus 3 says it this way, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Church, are you hopeful this morning? Does this Christmas season find you in a place of hope? I'm trusting these words are reminding us of why we can be called people of hope. Later on in Titus, it also says this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Verse 13, "waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Isn't that beautiful? Like, in a nutshell, these three verses, they summarize our whole life in Christ. It's the whole Christian story. That "for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Who is the grace of God the Father but Jesus Christ? So Christ appears, bringing salvation for all. So now what do? We are saved in Christ. Well, verse 12 says, "So now in this present age, we are to be renouncing ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Now in the present age, Christ came. Now we live for him, setting ourselves apart for him." But verse 13 says, what the future holds. Why do we have hope? "Waiting for our blessed hope," which is what? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We hope because he returns. He came first, his first advent, bringing salvation. We now live in what we call this age of grace, this present age. We're setting ourselves apart for God in holiness, in holy living, anticipating with great eagerness his wonderful return. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Even we will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Beloved, we are God's children now in Christ, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." Isn't that amazing? You know, people often say, well, what's our new body going to look like? What's our new heavenly body going to look like? It's going to look a lot like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus appeared after his resurrection to the 12 and to hundreds of others. He appeared as I believe he always will be. And somehow our bodies will be like his, fit for eternity with him. That is part of our great hope. 1 Timothy tells us about the hope we have simply because of salvation from God. "For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, for those who believe. So in this life, yes, we toil, we strive, we set ourselves apart for God, but it's all in eager anticipation. Church, are we living our lives as people of hope, eagerly awaiting the return of Christ, keeping our eyes fixed on Him? There's a story of two young boys who were out in the woods one day, and they were playing in the snow. It had just recently snowed the night before, and they said, "Let's see who can make the straightest line in the snow." So they both picked a tree in the distance, and they started making their way through the snow to make the straightest line they could to the same tree. And there was one boy who kept going and kept his eye, but he wanted to see the path he was making. So every few steps, he would look back to see the path he was making. Oh, that looks pretty straight. And he'd keep going, and eventually both boys got to the tree, and they looked back, and the one had made a straight line, and the other one was all zigzag and crooked. And the one who did that said to the other boy, "How is it that you made such a straight line?" And he said, "I noticed every time you kept looking back, I just kept my eye on the tree." You see, we are to keep our eyes on Jesus. And Jesus says, don't even look back. You put your hand to the plow, he says elsewhere. Not looking back, we look ahead. We keep our eyes fixed and trained on Jesus, for he is our hope. And finally, 1 Timothy 1. Why do we hope? Simply in Christ himself. Paul starts this book by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. We hope because of Jesus. So we have a bit of a biblical understanding and view of hope. But church, there's something else at play here. We are to have vision. See, there's this great connection, this interplay between hope and vision. If hope is a look to the future with confident expectation, anticipation, there must be a way, a means by which we can see this future. We keep our eyes on Jesus. How is it we can have this hope? See, there must be a light to shine, to expose and reveal that future so we can see it. In the Holy Scriptures, there's this amazing contrast, which is foundational to our understanding of God's plan. This contrast between light and dark. See, in darkness, it's described as having no hope. Why? Because you cannot see. But with light, even the glimmer of light, there brings hope. The future is bright and we can see. In Isaiah 9, 2, a very familiar passage that we read often during the Advent season, during Christmas time. The prophet Isaiah is writing about the people of Israel who had long awaited and anticipating the Messiah. And there's this great prophecy of promise about the Messiah coming. In Isaiah 9:2, it says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." These were words of hope for people long ago. It was a very dark time in Israel's history when the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. It was because of their rebellion against God, and God had allowed them to be taken into exile. Their great city, Jerusalem, was in ruins. Their temple, their beloved temple, the center of their life and worship of God, was destroyed. They were being oppressed. They were facing a hopeless future. Away from a home, thinking that they would never see again. Isaiah writes these words, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." What words of hope that must have been in a very dark winter of Israel's history. Is that something that we never really look forward to, how the days get shorter in this time of year? It's darker for longer. Who likes to get up when it's 20 degrees and cold, right? And maybe you go to work and you come out, it's already dark. You're like, I didn't even get to see the sun today. For the people of Israel, it was cold, it was dark. That can bring sadness to many of us this time of year, doesn't it? It's a reminder that we live in a broken world. When we experience any level of that depression or sadness that can come this time of year, not only because of the extended darkness in our days, but maybe just reminders of things that you'd rather not recall during a time which should be celebratory and hopeful. For many, it can be so difficult. But a reminder, we live in a broken world. When we're hurting, we're reminded of that brokenness. When those around us that we love are hurting, we are reminded. When we learn and see the hurting, the deep hurting of people around the world, we are reminded we live in a broken world. But see, church, hope is found where light shines in the darkness of a broken world. And the most significant promises of a coming Messiah had been given in the darkest hours of history. It's often said that darkness is greatest right before the dawn. See, hope was coming. There was light that was being brought into the darkness. Church, light is that visible sign that there is hope. Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, was a visible sign of hope in a dark and hopeless world. See, that light increases our vision so we can have that vision of the future that we then can put our hope in. And that, of course, that vision is Jesus as we keep our eyes on him. He overcomes those shadows that we live under often today. For us, we celebrate that Jesus did come, his first advent, but now we anticipate his return. Church, where do you place your hope? We can put our hope in lots of things. We can put our hope in others. We can put our hope in our finances, even in our children, our health, material things. But as believers, we realize the only true hope for this world is in Christ. See, this is important, church. Remember, we are called people of hope. God's plan to bring that light of life, that light into the world that offers hope, his plan is to use us. Ever think about that? God can do it in so many ways. He chooses to use us. Where you live, where you work, where you shop this Christmas season, you are to be a person of hope because you're keeping your eyes on Jesus, because you have found the one true hope. And we are always to hope in God's promises. God promised he would send the Messiah, and he did. Jesus promised he would come back, and he will. Do you believe that? Is that where your hope lies? John 1 says it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. You know, church, God may allow us to wander in the darkness at times. He did with Israel. He does with us. But it's so we can receive that light, to be reminded that we have hope because of him. What does that look like in your life today? Many of you know part of my story and my struggles with depression and anxiety starting many, many years ago, a dark place that I could not see my way out of, but all I could do was cling to the Lord Jesus. All I could do was cling to his word and keep my eyes focused on him, and all the people around me that loved me kept reminding me that there is hope, that all is not lost, that even though things look so dark and dim, we keep our eyes on Jesus. For the word says, he is the light that shines in the darkness. Can I get an amen for that one? Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hope is that joyful expectation about tomorrow in spite of today. See that? Hope is that joyful expectation about tomorrow, of course, as believers, in spite of what today might look like. It's that what is ahead of me is always worth moving towards, because with God there is always hope, and we know that because of Jesus Christ. God kept his promise, and he will keep his promises. Why can we have hope? Because God is present now and is also that light at the end of the tunnel. See, we are the church, right? You've probably heard this before. This building is not the church. We are the church. In Scripture, the people of God are called the church. We are called the body of Christ. Jesus Christ died for us, his church. Do you know that we're also called to be a city on a hill? Reflecting the light of Jesus, it's that beacon of hope. Church, when people look at you, do they see hope? Are we shining the light of Jesus, especially during this season when it can be so difficult for many people? Are we shining the light of Christ? Again, John says it this way. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Don't we want that? Don't we love that? We keep our eyes on Jesus, for he is the light of the world. And because of that light, we have hope in him. He is the light that brings hope that the world needs. His return for us that we keep our eyes on is our blessed hope. In a moment, we will move into our time of what we call communion, where we remember what Christ did for us. And yes, it can be a solemn time where we reflect and we remember what Christ did, as it should be, because it cost Christ everything. He gave up his life that we might have life. He is that light that shines in the darkness, church, that we may then have that vision to the future of hope, because he is a light that shines into the future when we might think that there is nothing to be hopeful for. We are called time and again to bring our eyes back to the Lord Jesus, for God promised he would send him, and he did. And Jesus promised when he left his disciples, he said, "I am coming back." You remember that scene in John 14 when he's comforting his loved ones, his disciples? He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back for you." He was encouraging the disciples because they were about to know that they would feel all hope is lost. They needed to be reminded that it might seem like a long, dark winter for them, that depression and despair were going to set in, but Jesus was reminding them that he was the light of life, the light of the world, and that he was going to prepare a place for them and that he would come back for them. So that is what we are hopeful for, his return. His return for his church, our blessed hope, his second advent. Then afterwards, when he comes back to this earth and finishes all things that he planned and then makes all things new. Remember the light in your life, the light that brings you hope. We celebrate the birth of Messiah this Christmas season, but we are to shine that light of Christ into others' lives. Remember this, you can't bring a little bit of darkness into a room full of light, but you can bring a little bit of light into a very dark place. Be that light this Christmas season and bring hope to others who need it. As we gather around the Lord's table, we do it remembering what it cost Christ. It breaks our hearts. It reminds us of our sin, our former position before God. But yet, in the midst of that sorrow, in the midst of that remembrance of what Christ did for us, there is still great hope. There is great hope because of what it means. It means that he came once to die in our place, to offer salvation. And he said, I'm coming again. Do you know when he celebrated that last Passover meal with his beloved disciples, it said he took the bread, he took the cup, which we will do symbolically to remember that. But he took that cup after supper. See, there was a time in between the bread and the cup. He took the bread, and then later on after supper, he took the cup. But there is another cup that he has yet to drink from, that he tells us he will not drink from until he sees us again. At the marriage feast of the Lamb, he will drink from that final cup of blessing. He awaits that eagerly to be joined again with us, his beloved church. Do we not await his blessed return for us, that we may enjoy that marriage feast of the Lamb, it's called, when we are reunited with our Savior? That gives us hope, even especially in those dark times. May we be that light to others. Church, as you hear the music play, I'm going to ask that you just take some time to reflect on hope, the place of hope in your life, especially during this time. As you think about what it cost Christ to offer you new life that you received by faith as a gift from him, consider also that place of hope in your life. Now, ask after a time, and there's no rush, that when you're ready and you've had time between you and the Lord, you can just get up and make your way either to the front or to the side there, and you can take a piece of the bread and a cup and return to your seat. When we've all done that, then I will lead us in closing of taking of the bread and cup together in remembrance of him. So take your time, take some time with the Lord, and when you're ready, you can get up and take the elements and return to your seat. And then I'll lead us in closing and taking of the elements together. that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said these words, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So, church, let's take together and eat together in remembrance of him. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and he said these words, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together and drink in remembrance of him. The Apostle Paul says then, that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We have faith in what Christ did for us that we just remembered together. Because over 2,000 years ago, God kept his promise and a baby was born. Mary and Joseph eagerly awaited month after month for his arrival. Kings and wise men eagerly awaited. The angels proclaimed, the shepherds proclaimed, the goodness of God revealed in Jesus Christ. So yet, there is much to remember, but also much to rejoice as we behold the newborn King. Would you stand with me? We'll close our time together in song as we sing during this Christmas season of the ability to celebrate and rejoice because a king was born to us on that day so long ago. So let's celebrate and worship now our newborn king and the fact that, yes, he was born to die in our place, but his birth represents a promise kept, a promise of God. Let's sing together. Yes, we come before you and we say, yes, behold him. Behold the baby born in the manger, Christ the Savior. God, thank you for making those promises so long ago about the Messiah. Thank you for keeping your promise. And we place our hope in you because you promise that Jesus will return for us and Jesus will make all things new. God, this Christmas season, help us to keep our eyes trained on Jesus and no one else. He is our hope. He is the light of this world. God, may we go from this place and remember that we are people of hope and that we are to shine the light. And God, bless our meal together around the tables. God, bless our conversation as we encourage each other with these truths about who you are and about your promises. God, may we be even more hopeful than we were when we walked in this morning. God, continue to bless our time together. We say thank you, and we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Church, thanks for joining us this morning. Hopefully you can stay for our meal and then stay to help us decorate for the Christmas season. Mm-hmm.